This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
High noon in the District of Columbia. You know what that means on a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday, B.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take my ass to the gym this afternoon, B, or it might be sipping time.
I think you just go sip, though.
We'll see how it goes.
You can do 12-ounce curls.
Yeah. I'm good at those. Javon Kinlaw, really interesting story. I believe it was Rich Simony of ESPN.com, covers the Jets, wrote a really good in-depth story on Kinlaw about a year ago when he signed with New York. Kinlaw, his family, I believe, are from Trinidad and emigrated here. And he grew up in D.C. till he was 12 or 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually moved down south. I think was living with his mom in some really difficult circumstances, and then eventually moved down to the South Carolina, for high school and I guess middle school and high school. But eventually went to college in Columbia at South Carolina, and he just signed with Washington officially this morning, and he had a subsequent press conference, and I think. This is a really touching comment from a young man who has now made life-changing wealth.
Well, I grew up in Northeast D.C., so I'm a real skin fan, point blank, period. And I was just telling somebody, when I was growing up, Trent Williams was on the team and Jordan Reed, and then I got to be teammates with them guys my rookie year. For me to be able to be on this team now is a full circle moment for me. And I know a lot about the transformation, man. It was in the blink of an eye. It's like you go from zero to hero, you know what I mean? And that's all I'm about, you know? That's kind of my life. And I can't wait to thrive with these guys, man. I feel so blessed, and I'm so happy to be here. Shoot, my whole family here, so...
All right, we're going to try that again without the producer microphone on. Jesus. Fellas, we could hear you. So let's try this one more time. Javon Kinlaw, D.C. guy, without the aquarium microphone on.
Well, I grew up in Northeast D.C., so I'm a real skin fan, point blank, period. And I was just telling somebody, when I was growing up, Trent Williams was on the team and Jordan Reed, and then I got to be teammates with them guys my rookie year. For me to be able to be on this team now is a full circle moment for me. And I know a lot about the transformation, man. It was in the blink of an eye. It's like you go from zero to hero, you know what I mean? And that's all I'm about, you know? That's kind of my life. And I can't wait to thrive with these guys, man. I feel so blessed, and I'm so happy to be here. Shoot, my whole family here, so...
Yep, they're not even talking, so I don't know how that happened.
But, like, we could hear them talk. Maybe when he recorded it, whatever.
When he recorded it, must have done it, because it must have been when y'all were recording it. Because y'all...
Whatever.
They weren't talking just now, and it's just still playing like that.
Yeah. However that occurred, we're going to move forward just based on what he said. And I know you never got to play for the Saints or anything, B, but how cool of an opportunity is it for him now as a free agent to come back to Washington?
Oh, it's cool because he was a fan of the team. You know, if I had been a fan of, let's say, Washington, you know, and then I get a chance to play there, I'd see how I feel. But growing up in that city has to be a special feeling for him, you know. And I would hope that it brings pride to him to want to make sure that the team continue on the path they're going to get back to be good again. Well, they're good already, but to stay there.
Yeah. At this point, we've seen them. Last year was a high. Now we're looking for sustainability,
there
right?
You go. Totally.
And the entire Kinlaw presser was pretty interesting. I went back and watched. I was able to do some of it live in breaks, and then I went back and watched it in other breaks. I asked him just about what it means that Adam Peters wanted him back. And that, to me, is what stands out most about this signing, is the folks that claim they don't like it are probably just regurgitating other stuff they've heard. Mm-hmm. But if you subscribe to the theory of how well Peters has done since he arrived, it's pretty damn clear Peters liked this dude because they drafted him in San Fran and he just re-signed him now. I think you should bestow the benefit of the doubt in this situation.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, Peters knows numbers that we don't even know.
Right.
He was there and he was probably in the position to where they had to, you know, go in there and research and dissect everything to figure out, should we get this guy? You know what I'm saying? So he understands what he's capable of, and now he has a coaching staff underneath him that they're very good at getting people to play their best. So if you get that from him, you probably can have your steal here.
Well, and I also think there's a factor of buy-in, right? And I think with Tunsil, that's a question because maybe that hasn't been a strength or whatever. Well, we don't know. But I also think Dan Quinn's pretty involved in this stuff. And I think Dan Quinn's superpower is getting guys to buy in and forming these, like, team bonds. And that's pretty powerful. And Kinlaw seems like the kind of dude who wants to hit the ground running. I did want Jeff and Heavy Metal Chris, two dudes that are from D.C. that love this team. What does it mean to you when you hear him say, like, man, I'm from here. My family's here. I love this team.
Honestly, the first thing I kind of thought about was actually was John Allen leaving, and now we got him. It's kind of, I feel like he's going to maybe replace that kind of local heart for the team.
Mm. That's interesting.
I love
you,
it,
Jeffrey.
I love it. I don't know if you heard me back here.
Oh, I heard it twice.
Well, no. That, you couldn't hear me back here because we weren't talking.
When you recorded it, whenever you downloaded that video, you and Chris were clearly talking.
Yeah.
I was moving forward, but you opened the door back up.
Yeah, but that wasn't that. So let's keep moving forward and stop bringing it over the air. I'm actually excited. I'm actually excited that we have someone from here that have that passion because – you know, it's different when you have people playing, but when you have passionate people playing, it's just going to up their play. And I'm glad he's back, you know, get his chance to make his money.
All right.
For sure. And I think, B, with Kinlaw saying that he was up in weight with the Jets, he said it helped him with the double teams, but it cost him some explosiveness. Yeah. You don't really go up in weight as a free agent unless you're told to, right?
Yeah, normally.
I'm asking. I don't know.
Yeah. Because, like, listen, man, I've been through this thing where they told me they wanted me to be, because I was 209, they wanted me to go to 216, 220, because they wanted me to play fullback. And they were trying to use me a little bit like, I forgot the running back that was back in the days at the Rams. So they wanted me to get up to 220. So as I get
not
to 220,
Bettis.
No. It was way before my time. So I get to 220. Guess what they tell me then? Oh no, we're not gonna do that anymore. We want you to go back down. What the hell? You know. And sometimes people play with that, but then you hit a point where you know what you can do at which weights. And once I realized what I could do at 216 and 220, I said, I don't give a damn where you want me to play. I'm gonna play it at this weight. You know, because a lot of teams played those games back then. to put you on that little where they can come in and weigh you and try to take money from you. You know? So I got to the point where my body fat was right. I'm going to play it this way.
Yeah, it's
him trying to gain weight. He was told to try and be that guy. And then he got big, and then they want him to move outside some, and he can't come off like he used to.
Right. Yeah, I mean, clearly it wasn't right for him with the Jets. I think maybe late in the season they figured out the right way to use him. I think you're getting a guy that is probably – I think he's clearly been through a lot in his personal life, and I think in his professional life, like as a pro football player – he's probably evolved a lot. You know, that first season as a rookie, 12 starts for a Niners team that was improving. Then he's basically hurt all of 21 and 22. This knee thing, they're trying to figure it out. 23, where the Niners went to a Super Bowl, I mean, he played every game for them that season, was obviously a part of their rotation on the defensive line. You know, hits free agency, gets a little cash, goes to the Jets. It was a one-year deal, I believe. And the numbers don't pop, but they're certainly not bad. 4.5 sacks, 40 tackles. Mm-hmm. One thing you notice looking just at box scores over the years with Kinlaw, he's a handsy player. Like, he has 45 career starts and 7 passes defensed, 2 forced fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he gets his hands in throwing lanes. And with his height at 6'5", that's going to be a factor.
Long arms?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I could go back and look at – let me see if I can pull up his athletic profile. He might not have done a lot of testing because he was a first rounder. Let's see what we can find here. I wonder what his 10-yard is. What is – like, do you remember your 10-yard? Like, what is considered really fast?
For big boys, the big guys get be fast in the 10. So you're talking about when they do like, what is it? What, was it 1.7? 1.69, 1.7 for them?
Yeah. I don't have his 10-yard. It seems like he might not have run at the combine back in 20. You know what? Stupid-ass COVID, there was no combine. Right? 2020? April? 2020? No, you know what? That was the last combine. Because I remember being at that combine and a coach that I'm friends with that is now coaching with the Bucks. We were drinking a beer. And he said to me, he's like, you heard of this coronavirus? I think it's bad in Italy. I remember this. We were at Kilroy's in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but we both were like, I don't know if it'll get here. I mean, 5 years later, the entire world was
already there.
Right. Right. But, like, 5 years later, the whole world has been completely turned upside down. So his athletic scores from the combine, these are all estimates, which I think is kind of junk to estimate.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find this kind of interesting. So they give prospects grades on a scale of 8, 1 to 8. 8's mm-hmm. perfect. His grade is a 6.5. He was projected as a first rounder, but kind of interesting. It's boom or bust potential. That's the grading. And I'm going back. I'm reading now from the draft. For a player with so many elite physical traits, Kinlaw's tape was much more inconsistent than expected. He had moments where he was able to use his size, length, and power to overwhelm opponents, but poor pad level, I add parenthetically, that's something we still hear about, and an inability to harness his energy coming off the snap led to body control and balance issues that prevented him from reaching his full potential. He can be a disruptive force along the interior with that explosive first step and freaky physical gifts, but utilizing his heavy hands and a plus length as a read and react 3-4 end might allow for improved technique, control, and consistency. No matter the front, Kinlaw's traits and potential could make him a solid starter early in his career.
All right.
Dude.
Well, I'm going to.
5 years later, that reads pretty true from what we've seen so far.
Like what I watched last year, and I was asking for from other coaching staffs when they were here, get guys to play their best. And I saw our coaching staff get multiple guys to do that. And if this team could get him to just get a little better in some techniques, And he also has a willingness to do it because he's back home. You know, we don't know what could happen. So I'm going to lean towards that positive aspect. Let's see if we can pull that out of him.
Sure. I also think people get so caught up in base defense, and technically they run a 4-3 base, but they're so rarely in a true base. Like, maybe the plan with him, so in that, Lance Zierlein does a really good job with prospects, I think, and he writes all these, like, combine informational things. I think talking about a read and react 3-4 end, they're not going to run a specific 3-4, but there has been already conversation of him being playing some edge, and I think that's the exact spot they're talking about, where let him react, let him use his speed, and then the size is significant. I don't know. I think I'm more bullish on Kinlaw than others. I don't think the contract's particularly problematic if you consider the tiers of the interior defensive line. And I enjoyed just kind of getting to hear from him. Sometimes seeing, hearing the person
changes
allows
the perception.
You. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
I think, though, the fact that he was an end in the 3-4, where you normally get some pass rush and run stop, you can play, like, what they did with John late in the season, they had him playing inside and outside. If he's had that experience rushing the passer on the outside, you also have a guy who could be a run stopper for you. Set an edge. That's something we watched Martin do. He could set the edge big time.
Yeah. Just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't.
There you go.
When we come back, talking a little Caps hockey with Ethan Cadeau.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My man Landini is somewhere listening to the program, dancing to this song. This is his jam right here. Jim Mullins will be back next week after a good week of vacation and a lunch with our friend Greg. Joining us now via the Rude Guest Hotline is our boy Ethan Cadeau. Ethan covers the Caps and the Commanders for Monumental Sports Net. You can give him a follow at Ethan underscore Cadeau, C-A-D-E-A-U-X. EC, what's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, man? Just watching some early college basketball, but happy to join.
All right. We are happy to have you. What happened last night in L.A.? That is not the result. So it's funny. My daughter, this morning at breakfast, she's like, Daddy, did the Caps win? And I was like, you know what? I haven't checked yet because she knows all the games when they're happening. But last night was just too late for us. It was a 10:30 puck drop, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's too late for me.
Okay, well, I imagine you had to go watch it this morning, so tell me what happened.
Oh, I was up. I was up last night.
Were you? Okay.
I wish I went to bed. yeah, it was the first time they got shut out since, I'm pretty sure, either late October or early November, whenever Vasilevsky down in Tampa, that was the last time they got shut out. The Kings just play really sound defense, and they don't make mistakes. The Caps really didn't have possession of the puck very often all night. Ovechkin had zero shots on goal for the first time all season. They just really couldn't get into rhythm. It wasn't like they didn't have their chances. It just they really didn't look like the normal team, winners of five straight. They didn't look like that all night. And credit to the Kings. I mean, Darcy Kemper shut out his former team, but the Caps just looked off from the beginning. Didn't even generate one expected goal. One of the analytics Spencer Carberry uses a lot. So, yeah, that just tells you how bad it was last night.
Can that just be the sixth game in a row? I mean, they won five of them. They're on the road now out west. Can it just be that, chalked up as that?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not concerned about this team at all, and luckily for them, they play the Sharks tomorrow, who are arguably the worst team in the league and give up a hell of a lot of goals. So
come on, Ovi, get eight of them.
He might get more than one. That would be my prediction. But I think he's obviously hungry. Last night was not a game any of them want to look back on fondly, but I think the good thing is they play in 24 hours at this point and should be able to pick up another 2 points tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, San Jose's bad, huh? They have 45 points. The Caps have, like, what, 88?
94,
rather? Right. Wow. I mean, that is bad. So are the Caps and the Jets tied right now for the President's Trophy?
I didn't check the standings last night, but I believe they are tied, yes.
And they have a game coming up, right? Doesn't Washington still have to go to Winnipeg?
Yes, and I think next week, I believe, on the 25th.
I have it in front of me here.
Yeah.
That's a big boy night. Like, we're going to have to lock in for that one, B. Huh. But, Ethan, so I'm fully prepared to just dismiss last night's result, right? Like, this is the middle of a long road trip. When you're that far ahead, and their lead in both the division and the conference is bananas. I mean, they're up 12. They're up 12 in the division, and they're up, I don't know, 9 in the conference. How much do you think it helps that they have Ovi's record to kind of keep them focused? Or do you think at times the record is a detriment from having them just focus on beating everybody that day, that night?
So I'll answer your second question first. I don't think the record is a distraction within the locker room at all. And I think a main reason why is Ovechkin literally hates talking about it. Every time we bring it up to him, he's always first to talk about the team or his teammates. I'm sure it just gets annoying for him after being asked that pretty much every city he goes to and by us, the home media, whenever he's here. But I think him not bringing his own attention to the record allows the guys to play freely. I mean, you even look 2 days ago, he had a chance for that wide open net to close out Anaheim, and he passes it to Alexi Protas to get the hat trick. Like, if he was really, really hunting this record, which I do deep down believe he is, I think he's taking that shot. But that's a great move by the captain passing that off. I will go to your first question, though. I do think I got a little bit worried after they beat Pittsburgh, beat Edmonton out of the break. They dropped three in a row, and I was like, oh, maybe this is them hitting a little bit of a lull. After the break, they're up 10 points. There's really no one in striking distance of catching them in the Metro. But then they ripped off five straight wins. So it seems like every single time they hit a little lull, Spencer Carberry and his group have an answer. And that's what they've been doing all year. So I have no reason to think that'll stop moving forward.
As Spencer, yeah, he could be using those little lulls like that as motivation. Like, hey, man.
We
had that slide, but look what we did the last time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's only, I think, 18 or 16 games left. So, I mean, he's got to heat up a little bit if he wants to get the record this year. And I feel like he really wants it this year.
I think a guy like Obi would want that out the way. Like JP mentioned it yesterday, getting to the playoffs and all you focus on is, let's go get this win. Let's go get a cup. Not, oh, man, we fell short this year.
Yeah, and I think the last thing he wants is to be like one or two goals away and have to wait 3 months to come back and potentially break that record. I think he just wants to get it done, and I think he wants to get it done with a few games to spare, like you said, because I don't think they want to be going into that Islanders and Pittsburgh game, the last two to end the year, with people wondering if Ovi's going to break the record. I think they want to be fine-tuning things, getting ready for whoever their first-round opponent's going to be.
Dude, I almost wonder if they want to be able to rest Ovi a couple games. Like, I think the 13th against Columbus is the night. Because if he can break it, then you just chill those two games before the playoffs. I don't even know if that's how it would all shake out. Beyond Ovi, though, because what's crazy about this team is that it's so much more than just Ovechkin. As much as he's leading the charge, and I think his leadership, like his locker room presence, is wildly important too. But they're getting, I mean, truly career seasons from a number of guys that look like they have turned a corner. You think about McMichael or Protas. Like these dudes seem like not only are they having these career seasons, but this might be who they are going forward.
Definitely, especially Protas, like you mentioned. Last year, they signed him to a four-year extension, and everyone at the time was like, what are they doing? He hasn't shown anything. He only scored 6 goals last year. He has more points this year than he had in his career combined entering the year, which is just crazy. And McMichael, too, he's having a great year, 23 goals, 28 assists. Those are both career highs. And everyone likes to talk about how Pierre-Luc Dubois and Logan Thompson and all the other additions they brought from the outside are the main reason this team is in first place. And yeah, those players have been great, but I mean, if without Protas and McMichael taking that next step forward, I don't know where this team would be. And I think they've been as important as anyone.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I mean, the goaltending's been phenomenal too. Both guys, really. I get that you've got to kind of have a leader in the clubhouse in LT, but Lindgren's been really good when he plays.
Yeah, he had one save last night where literally was doing the splits, went off his blocker. And, I mean, that game was 3-0. Probably looking back, it's not one that they really are going to look at fondly, but it could have been 4-5, 6-0 if Lindgren didn't make a few stellar saves, too.
Wow. That's crazy. Are the Kings that good, or is it just an off night?
I think the Kings are really good. They're young, they're fast, and they play great defense, which is just a recipe to win a lot of games. I mean, they don't have the star power that some of the other teams in the West do, like Edmonton or Dallas, et cetera. But, I mean, every time you go to L.A. or face the Kings in general, it's going to be a tough, probably a low-scoring matchup. And I think that's the type of brand of hockey that wins in the playoffs. So I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. I don't think they're one of the elite teams in the NHL, but I definitely think they could win a series or two just because of how disciplined they play and honestly just how good they are protecting their own net.
We'll just focus on a get-right game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go score a touchdown in San Jose.
Do that.
Yo, Ethan, while I got you, and everybody should give him a follow at Ethan_Cadeaux, CADEAUX. You know, you do the caps year round, but in the fall you're at Commanders all the time. You're at the games, you're at practice. What have you thought of their off season here?
I love the Laremy Tunsil trade. I feel like left tackles like that, five-time Pro Bowlers, just don't get moved. A little bit skeptical as to why the Texans would trade him. I assume it's just because they have to pay Stroud, Stingley, and those guys. Am I right there?
We hope.
I believe so, especially Stroud.
But I guess the biggest question mark when the numbers came out was Javon Kinlaw. I was a little skeptical at first. I mean, I listened to his press conference this morning, and I mean, the intro pressers are usually fire fans up. I was a little motivated. I think he's going to be a good fit. I like what they're doing. I would like to see another addition in the receiver room. I like the Debo trade, but still think they need one more guy. Don't really think it needs to be like a Cooper Kupp or that level type player, but just someone else. Like losing Alamide Zaccheaus, I don't think it's a huge deal, but he did produce a lot last year, where I feel like they'll need either Luke McCaffrey to step up or bring in one more guy.
Well, you said Kupp, and I wanted JP to know that Dallas is trying to sign him, from what a lot of sources are thinking, Jay.
I've heard Dallas. I've heard Denver, maybe. It sounds like he wants a lot of money, enough money that New England that has all of the money said thanks but no thanks.
That's why I was kind of shying away from him here.
Yeah, I think I'm in on it as a bargain.
Yeah.
I'm not in on it as a pricey item.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to go to Dallas with Tank Lawrence and Micah Parsons batting with each other online?
Yo, for real.
Hey, depending on how much money they give you.
EC, B-Mitch has been kind of a one-man band on Keenan Allen. How would you feel about Keenan Allen coming to town?
I like it. I mean, I feel like they need a guy who could route you up. I mean, Debo's not going to do that. Terry's a decent route runner, but he does a little bit of everything. Keenan seems like a guy that can really be good in the intermediate. I would like that. Also, in a similar vein, good route runner, I wouldn't mind bringing in Stephon Diggs if it's a decent amount of money. I mean, coming off the ACL, that's always a little skeptical, but playing for your hometown team, I would take a flyer on that as much as I would on Keenan Allen.
About you, B, with Diggs?
I mean, like I said, right price, I'll take a try.
I don't know. DC guys in DC, man. It's just, I don't
you
know.
You played good at Maryland.
You did. Played good at good counsel. Shout out to Dennis Kane. I mean, you're not wrong, B. He definitely played good at Maryland. EC, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
All right, take care, brother.
Ethan Cadeau, you can give him a follow at Ethan Cadeau. Ethan underscore Cadeau. You know how I feel about underscores. They're stupid. CADEAUX.
I call a whole group of people stupid because they put an underscore.
When we come back, we're giving away tickets, and you got to hear the latest from Charles Barkley. Nobody go anywhere. Shout out to my man Jeff, keeping me updated on all things going on in the prison cell and the aquarium.
Apparently, probably 99.9% of the stuff he told you probably was a lie.
Well, Jeff told me that B. Mitch was about to throw a golf club at him because Jeff threw a golf ball at B.
Well,
is that accurate?
I hit him with a golf ball.
While he was sitting in the driver chair there?
I hit him with a golf ball. He threw it, missed, and then he was like happy because he missed, and I was gonna just let him see that golf club hit through his forehead.
I was not happy. I was more so.
He was happy that he missed.
Where did he hit you with the golf ball?
In my foot, and I was aiming for his head,
and he missed. So my head not that big. See,
your head's still pretty big. Jeff's just a terrible thrower.
Your ears are big with that big old head. So what you talking about?
My ears are more proportional than your head largeness, I would argue.
Not true. Not true.
I don't know. Didn't you have to borrow Dave Butts' helmet?
No, fool. That was a joke you heard from somebody. Ain't factual.
Dave Butts had a size 11. You're like a 10 and a half.
Yeah, keep it Dave Butts jokes.
I'm not making Butts jokes. I'm making B-Mitch jokes.
Okay. We're going to be in the same area real soon, so don't worry about it.
It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. I am working from home. Shout out to Jimbo from Rude coming over to check things out at the house. B, we all saw the LeBron Stephen A. Smith thing last week or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't care enough to comment on it. I don't know how I feel really about any of it besides the fact that it feels pretty pro wrestling-ish to me. Like, if somebody told me the whole thing was a work, I wouldn't be shocked.
I don't think it was a work.
I don't think it was either, but, like, I don't know. Please, if you.
I don't really care. You know, it's like.
That's where I'm at.
I was at a position with that same. I had that same situation before. You talk all that trash with me before or after. I just say it like that.
I agree with you. But what I did enjoy, I find Charles Barkley to be hysterical, uh-huh. and I am fascinated by a year from now. So Inside the NBA is the best NBA television show, but it might be
the best sports show.
It might just be one of the great television shows. It's just funny and interesting, and I love how they keep the production kind of light, and they're willing to laugh and have a good time.
Yeah.
I am fascinated next year when Barkley is on ESPN because he is just routinely taking down ESPN employees.
Uh-huh.
I think most of the time Chuck is correct. And this was Barkley. They were trying to do highlights of like a Bucks game, and Barkley just started doing his thing. This is, I believe, from last night's Inside the NBA.
You got to be careful talking about LeBron.
Why?
I don't want him running up on me.
Set up.
LeBron, get well soon. We love you, LeBron. I don't want you whipping my ass in the stadium. Ain't nothing worse than getting your ass beat in front of 20,000 people.
Could you just stand there and take it?
You might have to.
Giannis.
In front of Larry David.
Larry David, they can whoop your ass and curb your enthusiasm.
He's enthusiastically
whooping your ass.
Oh, my God.
You
can't even write that. Larry David's there when he started yelling at Stephen A. You can't even make that up.
Hey, he was trying to curb it.
That's what he was saying.
Milwaukee Bucks win 126-106.
How good was that?
I love it.
I thought that was so funny.
But this is when I had the problem when the Lakers drafted his son. You can't draft your son and have different rules for him. If somebody is playing good or bad, people are going to comment about it. Just like if you're on the team and the guys go at your son, you can't get mad at that. Because that is what the sport is about. So if you don't want him to have to deal with stuff, then you shouldn't put him in that situation. Because we all know if it wasn't for LeBron, he wouldn't have got drafted.
Yep.
So I don't understand guys that, like, you know, you're going to try to act hard with somebody because they was talking about your son. They talk about you. Why wouldn't they talk about your son?
Yeah, when you made him an NBA player and then when he proved to not really be fit to be an NBA player is when you introduced the criticism.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of times we want to put our kids in a situation, but we also have to understand just because we have a desire to play with our son don't mean that the negativity won't follow.
Right. You kind of take down that barrier. If Bronny's just a kid at USC that doesn't play a lot, I imagine he would be, I don't know about off limits, but I just don't think it would drive much conversation.
Yeah.
But when you get him drafted to the Lakers, and
you got some crap coming with that.
And if you go back and look at kind of the things that LeBron has said about Bronny. I mean, he had that tweet like a year ago or whatever where he said Bronny's going to cook these fools watching league pass or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Like, how's that going, man? I don't know. My wife, Lauren, weirdly likes LeBron. She's like, everybody's so hard on him. All he is a good husband, a good dad. He seems like a good guy. And I think that's fair. Like, of all the...
Seven women always come out with the good husband, good dad. You don't know everything.
Sure. That's fair. But LeBron, by all accounts, like, there's never been a legal thing. Like, there's never... A lot of people, when they hit that level of fame, something else happens, right? Like, we've never seen that with LeBron. Maybe there's something there that I don't know about, but I don't know. I just, with me and LeBron, he always is a little bit extra.
Yeah.
There's always just something annoying, and that's probably why I like Curry more. It's probably why I like Durant. I think at this point we could say is kind of a jerk, but like, he's himself, and I kind of like it. Like,
yeah.
Do you, man?
My thing is this, bro. There are a lot of people out here walking around every day that we think are oh, they so nice, and they are straight criminals and doing some bad stuff behind the scenes. Yeah, a lot of people we see make one mistake, and guess what? We judge them their whole life by one mistake, and that person may become that great guy, but we never give them a chance to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, man. I can't believe you said that about White Brian publicly, the criminal thing. I thought, you know, I thought part of the program was we keep that quiet, and that's how we get the money from the feds. But whatever, man. We all got to do what we got to do. Caller number 10 right now. You win two tickets to Dropkick Murphys and Bad Religion Summer of Discontent Tour. Tuesday, August 12th at Pier 6 in Baltimore with special guests, the Mainliners. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.